tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you.
Another synonym for gentleness in the scriptures is tenderness. Notice it says tender hearted there in Ephesians 4:32. So God wants us to, as his children, be gentle. We'll go to 2 Timothy 2:24 and we'll see it again. This will be another good memory verse for gentleness. So those would be your two memory verses, Ephesians 4:32 and 2 Timothy 2:24. So we'll pray and then we'll read this one. Lord, thank you for your word, the privilege to study it. I pray, Lord, we would apply it to our lives. Lord, that we would strive to be like Jesus and to walk like Jesus, act like Jesus, talk like Jesus, Lord. So please guide us in your truth and teach us today. And we pray that you'd be honored. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So gentleness is our 12th virtue. Mr. Sharp, could you read that for us? 2 Timothy 2:24, that'll be our other memory verse for gentleness. So, who in that passage is the servant of the Lord? That would be us. Amen? We are the servants of the Lord. And notice it says, servant of the Lord are to be gentle. Amen? And that is what God wants from his children, that we be gentle. If you go to 2 Corinthians 10:1, Philip, I'm sorry, Brent, if you could read that for us. God here is holding up our Savior as our example of gentleness. 2 Corinthians 10:1.
Now I Paul myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence and base among you, but being absent and bold towards you.
Notice he says the gentleness of Christ. Aren't you thankful that our Savior is gentle with his children, with his sheep? God wants us also to emulate that virtue and to be gentle, as we read in 2 Timothy 2:24, unto all men. Now, this is one of the fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? Galatians 5:22, for those of you that have that memorized, the fruit of the Spirit is, say it with me, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentle. Gentle. So we're to be gentle, amen? Gentleness, it says. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. So God wants his children to be gentle. That should impact how we interact with other human beings, amen? That we be gentle. What would be the opposite? Just so we can get a better handle on what he's talking about here when he's talking about being gentle. What would be the opposite of being gentle? Anybody? Okay, arrogant, aggressive, what else?
Bitter?
Yeah, maybe. But harsh, maybe hateful, maybe, like I said, aggressive. So God doesn't want these in our lives, as we've seen. He wants us to be gentle, 2 Timothy 2:24, unto all men. That includes Christians and non-Christians alike, doesn't it? Gentle unto all men. We're commanded to be gentle. That includes our tongue, does it not? So, Philip, if you could read Proverbs 15:1, it even affects our speech. A soft answer. So, that would be a gentle answer. Amen? A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So, gentleness would affect our speech and how we talk to others and even how we talk about others. Amen. So let's look at Titus 3. Roy, if you could read verses 1 and 2, we'll see this word gentle come up again in relation to our speech. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. So that word brawler there is not talking about, you know, getting into the match and having a wrestling match. But it is talking about a person who's contentious. And God says to be no brawlers, but gentle. showing all meekness unto all men. And verse 1, of course, says, speak evil of no man. So it affects our interaction with all men. He said that multiple times now already. All men, not just Christians, but even non-Christians. God wants his children to be gentle. Now, in 2 Peter 1, if you want to turn there, God lists some of the things he wants us to possess. These are some of the Christian virtues. And one of the things he lists here, which is the same word but translated differently, is brotherly kindness. So God, it says brotherly kindness and gentleness are the same. Notice 2 Peter 1 verse 5. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. So that brotherly kindness there is the same word as gentleness. And there's another word, Mr. Zeus, if you could read Philippians 4, 5. There's another word that this Greek word is translated, and that is the word moderation. Moderation, Philippians 4, 5. It's in the New Testament, brother. Right after Galatians, Ephesians, and then it's Philippians 4, 5. Mark's old school like me, you know, he's not using his phone yet, so sometimes it takes a little bit longer. Let your moderation, same Greek word translated gentle unto all men in 2 Timothy 2:24. Let your moderation, look what it says, be known unto all men. In other words, it should be known to those that you interact with, those that you work with, your neighbors, your family, your friends, that you are a person of moderation, a person who is gentle. Amen? So this is number 12. Yes, God wants us to be gentle and tender. He holds up Jesus Christ as our example. We read there 2 Corinthians, the gentleness of Christ. So thoughts or questions about number 12, being gentle, moderate, brotherly kindness? Anybody? Just keep in mind that 2 Timothy 2:24, the servant of the Lord is to be gentle unto all men. Amen, that's us. We're to be gentle unto all men. And Jesus Christ was gentle. Amen. So thoughts or questions? Otherwise, we'll move on to goodness. All right, let's go on to goodness. Then let's look at some memory verses. Guess what? Same one, Ephesians 4:32. So we'll go there first. Ultimate, you want to read that for us? Ephesians 4:32. And that one covers both of these virtues.
And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven
you. That word kind, same Greek word translated goodness in other places. So there you go. If you learn that memory verse, you've got multiple virtues covered. Kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving one another. So you've got three virtues in one verse there. So God wants us to be kind or good to one another. Now, of course, is God good? Amen? He's our example. Amen? Let's look at just some scriptures on this. I think Psalms probably talks more about God's goodness than just about anything. So Nathan, let's look at Psalm 33:5. And just be reminded that we serve a God who is good. Amen. Psalm 33, verse 5.
He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord.
Isn't that beautiful? The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Isaiah, could you read for us Psalm 34, 8?
Taste and see that the Lord is good. This is the man that trusteth him.
The Lord is good. Brandon, if you could read for us 119:68 of Psalms. 119:68. Thou art good and doest good. Isn't that beautiful? So we're just establishing here that our God is good, and God wants us to emulate His goodness. Let's look at a New Testament, Romans 2:4. Mr. Scott, if you could read that for us.
For despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee.
The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You know, we often imagine that it should be the judgment of God or the anger of God that should lead people to repentance. God said, no, it's the goodness of God. When people understand how good God is by looking at Calvary, that should lead them to repentance. Amen. That my Creator loved me that much and is that good to His creation that He would pay for my sins so that I can have eternal life and live with Him forever, that should lead us to repentance, that God is that good. Again, it's one of the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22, fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. So there they are right next to each other, gentleness and goodness. Howard, Romans 15:14. God wants us to emulate in our Savior the virtue of goodness.
And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another.
Full of goodness. Amen. Jesus wants to be full of goodness. So, who are we to be good to? Or kind? It's sometimes translated kindness. Just the Christians or the lost as well? Well, God goes one step further. Amen. Luke 6:35, Brent, if you could read that for us. And says even our enemies were to be good too. Amen. Luke 6:35, Brent. Do good to your enemies. So goodness affects or should affect every aspect of our Christian lives, how we treat Christians, the lost, and even our enemies were to be good, which again, a synonym in the scriptures is kindness. God wants us to emulate this character trait of goodness. Amen? Goodness. Well, we get to add another one if there's not a bunch of long questions. But anybody have any questions or comments? All right. Let's do another one that you wouldn't have expected. Grounded. Grounded. What do you think grounded means? Howard, what do you think grounded means? Okay, soundness, mature. Amen. So let's go to Colossians chapter 2. And see if God wants us to be grounded in our faith. Amen. Mr. Scott, if you could read for us verse 7 of Colossians 2.
Rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therewith with thanksgiving.
So, when we're talking about grounded here, we're talking about, as it says, they're rooted and established in the faith. So, by grounded, we're talking about grounded in the Word of God. Amen? That we understand the Word of God, that we study it, that we understand it, we understand why we believe what we believe. We're not afraid to talk to a Jehovah's Witness at the door because we're grounded. Amen? And this is a virtue that God wants every believer to have. Now, some people will have been saved for a few months. It's going to take them a while. But those of us that have been saved a while, it is our responsibility to be grounded in the Word of God. Amen? Because the alternative, Howard, if you could read Ephesians 4:14, is to be, not be grounded, but instead to be tossed to and fro. Ephesians 4:14. Look at that. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of what? Doctrine. So it's a doctrinal problem. If we're not grounded, it means we aren't grounded in doctrine. Doctrine is another Bible word for truth. And God wants us to be grounded in His Word. So let's go to Ephesians 5:13 and 14. Brent, if you could read those for us and see what God's will is for His children, that we stop drinking milk and we start eating steak. Amen?
Did you say Ephesians
5:13? Hebrews 5.
Sorry,
I might have said Ephesians, but it's Hebrews 5:13. Sorry about that.
For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised.
This is a very important passage for Christians. So we can either be unskillful in the word of righteousness, right? Which is someone who hasn't graduated from the milk yet. We all understand, you know, God gave us something we can all understand. Babies start off with milk and only milk, don't they? But eventually they graduate to solid foods. And, you know, if you were to meet someone who was 10 years old and was still just drinking milk, you'd know there was a problem. They probably wouldn't be alive, but there was a problem there. They haven't graduated onto real food. There's a lot of Christians like this. They're still babies. This is not what God wants. Notice he goes on to say, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. What do you think he means by full age? Is he talking about our physical age there? Exactly. It's not about spiritual maturity. Full age. It says, who by reason of use, use of what? The Word of God, have their senses exercised to discern. So there's that discernment that comes from being grounded, both good and evil. Being grounded and having discernment are the same thing. So God wants us to be grounded in His Word. Amen. Such that we are able to explain why we believe what we believe. We are able to talk to a cult member and explain to them why they need Jesus Christ. And they need to believe in His deity and so forth. That's all part of being grounded. But it also affects our behavior, does it not? Because if we're of full age, it means we're spiritually mature, which means we act more Christ-like. But that's because we are grounded. If someone has a Bible program on their phone, can they look up the word grounded in Colossians? Because I forgot to put it down here. So if you can find that, that would be a great help. So thoughts or questions about being grounded in the Word of God while someone finds that word in Colossians?
Your sharing reminded me of Jesus said, search the scriptures, for within them you think you have eternal life, but you will not come to me that you will have life. And I remember learning about life, and how he was always incredibly patient and steady in everything that he did. Like, he never rushed, and he was almost like the point where the apostles, from what I saw, would, you know, be kind of impatiently expecting things to go much faster because he would be so steady in everything that he did. So,
amen. That was Jesus. Amen. Steady. Never got riled up. Yes, Brother Brent. Chapter 1. I went to the wrong chapter. Which verse?
23.
Thank you so much. Let's hope that's the word I'm looking for. Ah, it is. There it is. Colossians 1:23. Look what it says. If you continue in the faith, grounded, there it is. That's the word I was after, grounded and settled. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Notice he wants us to be grounded and settled. Amen? Grounded in this book. Now, how does that happen? Well, we know how it happens. 2 Timothy 2:15. Let's go there. This isn't something that is automatic. It's not something that God has hands to us like he does eternal life as a gift. This is something we have to earn. We have to work for. Amen? It'd be nice if he could just say, okay, boom, you're grounded. It doesn't work that way. Our salvation, it's a gift. Hallelujah. Our spiritual maturity, that's up to us. We have to work for that. How do we do that? 2 Timothy 2:15, study. Amen? We have to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have to study this book if we want to be grounded and settled in our faith. Amen? Brent, did you want to say something?
2 Timothy 3:16-17.
Those are good verses. Let's look at them. 2 Timothy, look at verse 15 first. And notice it says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation. Amen? Through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then, of course, 16, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for, what's the first one? Doctrine. That's truth. Amen? Doctrine, correction, instruction, and so forth, and righteousness. That, look at verse 17. That the man of God may be, what's the next word there? Furnished. Furnished. That's the Word of God. And the power of the Word of God in our Christian lives. The Word told in 1 Peter 2 to desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. It's God's will that Christians grow in their faith. That we be grounded and settled in His Word. But we've got to work for that. We need to be in the Word. As a newborn babe, we need to desire the Word. We need to study the Word. Otherwise, we won't be grounded. So that is a number 14 of our virtues. God wants every believer to be grounded and settled in His Word. Thoughts or questions about number 14, grounded? You probably figured out we're doing them alphabetically. David? That's what God wants, that we don't leave our faith, don't leave the Word of God. Amen. He wants every believer to be so grounded in the Word that their faith can't be shaken. The alternative we read about in Ephesians 4:14 is we'd be tossed to and fro. And it's been 2,000 years since Christ, and yet still people keep coming up with new stuff and starting new movements and new cults. And some of these new belief systems are even creeping into Bible-believing churches. Because that's the devil, isn't it? He's the god of this world. He doesn't want grounded Christians. He wants wishy-washy Christians that are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. The only way to protect ourselves from that is to be in the book. Amen? To be grounded. So thoughts or questions about number 14, grounded, number 13, goodness, or number 12, gentleness? Mr. Zeus.
Just going back with 2 Timothy 3:16, the whole scripture being inspired and possible. But we need to be aware also not all scripture is for us to claim. God has given us dispensations on how that is. Some are written to the Jews, some are written to Gentiles, and some are written to the church. He's given obviously prophets and that were for the Jews and so forth. And we've got to be careful. Right? All scripture is for us. It teaches us history about creation, tells us teachings, all things about the world. But we've got to be careful how we interpret that. We can obviously don't claim everything because we're putting ourselves under certain conditions which are not for us.
That's true. And that verse that we read, 2 Timothy 2:15, says rightly dividing. Amen? That's what God means. We need to rightly divide the word. We cannot claim things for ourselves that aren't written to us. Now, we can always draw spiritual applications. Amen? Always can we draw. That's what we're doing on Sunday nights as we walk Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Those books were written to the Jews, but we can certainly draw spiritual applications and great teachings from those, right? The Bible says whatsoever things were written aforetime, Romans 15:4, written for our learning, right? That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So we can always be learning from the Scriptures, but we always have to be careful that we are also rightly dividing the word of truth. Who is this written to? That's a question we always need to ask. And God gave us those three dispensational groups, right? In 1 Corinthians 10:32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Very good. Anybody else? Yes, Callum.
Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you, and thus you will know that you are my followers. And I think when we spread the gospel as well, and you know, when we live out, when we love one another, and people see the goodness of God portrayed from us, and people want to come, you know, God's sheep come in and want to.
Yep, Jesus said that's how men will know, is if we are good to one another, gentle, and all these other virtues, treat each other biblically, which is what love is, how we treat one another. Others would see that and know something different about those people. Amen. Anyone else? Yes, Anthony.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me that God sees everything, so you may portray yourself as good and gentle to people, to their face, and you know, there's quite a few that will be like that up front to you, and then behind the scenes, they're not so gentle with who you are and how they talk about you.
Which is sin, like we saw in Titus 3.
That speak evil of no man.
Speak evil of no man. One of those verses that most Christians think doesn't apply to them. Amen. That's so true. God knows our hearts, and these virtues are to be us. Amen. We're not just to put on a show and say, yes, this is me, but it needs to genuinely be us. That can only happen as we be in the Word and be more like Jesus.